Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two, coming alive from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Friday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on the simulcast 3 hours a day. SiriusXM 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Over to nine, Tiger Woods, staring at about a 28-footer. A little left to right. Don't want to give this one away. Tiger plus three, currently at the cut line. He glides the putter back. Nice, smooth stroke. That's on target. That's looking good. And he buries it. Tiger Woods hammers home a 30-footer.
Too bad,
nine.
Too bad he's still 12 strokes behind the leader.
Hey, don't ruin the moment. Don't ruin my Jim Nance moment, all right?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a very good Jim Nance moment.
That was actually pretty good.
I'm impressed.
Right?
I'm impressed.
Kind of worked up to a little build. It was very descriptive.
You're right.
Gets the blade back. I gave you the pace of and the line of the putt. So if Jim ever gets sick, call me in CBS. I'll hop in there with Sir Nick Faldo. We have a great chemistry. We had Nick on the show the other day. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So CBS all weekend. Brooks has cooled off a little, but again, cooling off for him is just not threatening to shatter his yesterday established course record.
He went four holes without a birdie. That means cooling off. But he's already got three on the day. Three under through eight, Brooks Koepka is.
You know, I wanted to throw this at you here, and obviously as things transpire with golf, somebody makes a big birdie, you'll hear me. You probably heard me during Axe Update. That's what gave Axe the cue that something happened with Tiger Woods. Giannis said something. Mike, we have this cut, right? I want to play this for you. Giannis Antetokounmpo said that, you'll be able to, determine for yourself, but the gist is that basically saying without LeBron that the East is a lot easier, which is actually fairly obvious. Basic. I want to ask you something after this. Here's Giannis on that.
LeBron is a great player, but when he left the East, he's a great player going to the West. But, I'm not going to lie to you. When the season started, I didn't know we're going to be.
Okay. Well, I believe that, there's always a time when there's like a long-running narrative, and it's true. And it applies, and it's factual. You could feel it, you can prove it, whether it's through stats or standings, and then you get to a point where things are shifting a little bit, and people still, usually as a path to get to another thought, it's almost like a mindless, you throw it out there.
Because you've thought it for so long.
Exactly. And a lot of people still believe that the Western Conference is still superior to the Eastern Conference. And I'm here to tell you that I don't believe that it is. Where do you stand on this? I don't think the West is better than the Eastern Conference.
Not. You think about the Western Conference players. Because James Harden's out there, the MVP, who's not going to win a championship, but he's still one of the best players in the game. You see that in the West. You're like, he's on one of the second or third best team in the West, and they can't even win. The West has got to be significantly better than the East, right? He's the MVP 2 years running, even though he hasn't been officially announced as the MVP. I think he's going to be the MVP.
Think you're right.
And obviously the Warriors and all the talent they have out there. It feels like all the talent is in the West, especially now that LeBron is out there. But that doesn't mean that the teams are as good in the West. And I think what we're finding is when you get the right coach with a team that has really good players like the Milwaukee Bucks, that has role players that understand their roles and they do it really well, those teams are actually better than a lot of those teams that are in the Western Conference. So I agree. That's completely shifted. And if it wasn't for, the Brad Stevens inability to manage the star that Kyrie Irving is, I don't even think it would be close.
It's funny that you bring that up, and I think it's a good point, because the Celtics are the one situation that can certainly give you pause.
Yes.
And if you still want to latch on to the West as being slightly better the Celtics situation is probably pretty good ammunition for your
exactly
argument.
Exactly right.
You know?
You're right.
Because if they, we thought they'd win 60 games. We thought they'd get to the NBA Finals or at least the conference finals. So the way they devolved a bit maybe does cast a bit of a different shadow on the Eastern Conference. But I put it this way. Let me throw this at you. If the Warriors, say Kevin Durant just doesn't come back this season.
Yeah.
Let's say he can't play.
Yeah.
And it's the Bucks, and I'm not trying to, you know, prematurely dump the Raptors in a grave here, but I think we all believe that the Bucks are better, and unless they collapse, they should win this series. They're better.
They were terrible from three-point range, and they're the second most frequent shooting three-point team in the league. They were terrible in game one, and they still won.
Yeah, and they're not going to get 29 points from Brooke Lopez all the time, but no. Kyle Lowry's not going to bang in seven triples either. Right. So that'll leave it itself out. Bucks, you know, they can lose tonight, but Bucks will win the series, I think. If the Blazers, or... if the Warriors don't get Durant back, and it's the Warriors and it's the Bucks for the championship,
yeah,
who do you think's favored in Vegas? Hmm. I know my answer, Bucks.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. And look, that analysis, I think, is temporary because the East is going to change significantly.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to get better. It actually could offset. Go ahead. I think I know where you're going.
It depends on where KD ends up.
If Kawhi stays or goes.
And if Kawhi stays or goes.
Yeah.
So there's a chance. There's a chance that Jimmy Butler heads west. There's a chance that Kawhi heads west. There's a chance that Kyrie leaves the Boston Celtics and they either they're weird. And again, this is why I think BT, you mentioned this. They're a hard team to figure because. Yeah. That could either work well for them when Kyrie leaves and they go back to what they were 2 years ago, or they lose one of the best players in the league and they turn to one of not really great teams in the league. So it's really interesting to think about the Boston Celtics, but I think it's temporary. The West could next season fall back into that, man, they're just more dominant because there's just more dominant players are out in the West. Mm-hmm. But that's contingent. We don't know that that's going to happen yet. The other thing you look at is...
especially if Zion's drafted to the Western Conference the Grizzlies have. Yeah. So the top two picks, you might have Zion and John Morant in the West, and RJ Barrett very well might be on the Knicks. But those are the two of the three best players on paper right now seem ticketed for the Western Conference.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you look at the cap space, that most of the cap space is in the East.
It's pretty split.
I mean, the Clippers,
Mavericks, and the Lakers are three in the West, and then the Knicks, the Nets, the Hawks, and the... It's four in the East, three. It's pretty close. Yeah. Three in the West there. But then again, teams aren't going to run to play for the Pacers. So I don't know that you look at it in which teams, like.
True, but
you know what I mean?
The Knicks can do two, though. That's the thing. The Knicks can do two matches.
Oh,
right?
The Knicks have almost $73 million. Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a toss up, really, to be honest with you, going into next season. But this season, just to go back to the original thought, I think the East was stronger top side, right? The top heavy side. If I'm picking the best team in the East versus the best team in the West, I'm giving the East a chance, whereas 2 years ago I'm saying it's not even close.
And that's probably the ultimate point.
Yeah, exactly.
Narrowing the gap.
Because you look at the eighth seed in the East, they were at 500.
Pistons.
Exactly. The eighth seed in the West were 14 games over 500. And so the bottom, the West is probably better.
Yep.
But when you're looking at viability for winning a championship, I probably put the East there. This just this year. It could change, though, because I think guys are going to move. I mean, guys are definitely going to move. That's the NBA these days.
That's right. And by the way, even if Portland were to somehow stun the Warriors and go to the NBA Finals and the Bucks, actually, even if the Raptors were to beat the Bucks and you had Raptors-Portland, I think the Raptors might be favored by a tick. Bucks would certainly be favored.
I think you're right.
So, I mean, that's got to say a little something. And then you look at the bottom teams now. The Suns have an abundance of talent. The Dallas Mavericks will have Porzingis for a whole season with Doncic. The Pelicans situation is about to get very interesting. These are the teams with the worst records. The Grizzlies have the second overall pick. The T-Wolves have talent. And the Lakers have LeBron.
Yeah.
Then you go to the East, and we talk about the Knicks all the time. Knicks will be players this summer. Cavaliers, they've got a lot of work to do, but if they draft well, you got Colin Sexton, whomever else they draft, and John Beilein. The Bulls have Markkanen, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't love him yet. And Wendell Carter. The Hawks have a couple of really good players.
Yep.
The Bradley Beals with the Wizards, the John Wall injury really hurts them, and the money that he's making at $40 million. The point is, there's not a wretched team. There's not a hopeless team in the NBA.
No.
So our answer very well might be, which conference is stronger? you know, do the Hawks really become what we think they might? Or do the Kings beat them to the punch? Like those teams that are kind of laying in the weeds that are slowly ascending, that might define the ultimate strength.
Well, I think it will. And I can't help but think about the desire. We talked about this last offseason. How so many of these guys, they want to play in the West Coast. Like the desire to play in New York, except for KD and maybe Kyrie, it's not there any longer, right? It's these guys want this quality of life.
Yep.
And this, I don't know, this social media world.
You want some sunshine.
And,
you want 75 degrees. You know, you won't be miserable.
You're right.
Know, November, December, January,
that's
February,
right.
March.
Right. You're right. Like that, the off the court, not business opportunity, the off the court. Because they're not making too much. They don't have to worry about doing things off the court. Right? They're making so much money. It doesn't matter. They want to live comfortably. And so that favors the West. That just is what it is.
It's not even close. And that is an inherent advantage. I mean, that is, you can't change. You just can't change certain things that are inherent. You know, like Detroit winters are brutal. You know, I lived through two of them. They're tough, man. They're
New York ones aren't brutal, but they last forever.
They last forever. They're not as bad as they used to be, but they're wet, and they're obviously not outside much. It's Chicago's tough. It's windy. Milwaukee's tough. It's cold. It's dank. It's windy. You get snowed out the wazoo. Cleveland's tough. You know, these are all Philly's tough. Boston's tough. Indiana's got tough winters. You go to the Western Conference, get the flip-flops.
Put the
red top down. Let's chill.
You're right.
There's something to be said for that. John is in Houston, and John is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. John, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, very good. Thank you for taking my call. Love your show.
Thanks, John.
You
got it, pal. What's up?
What do you got for us?
But I was going to give you a little quick input on the KD situation. If he had ruptured his Achilles, I don't think I'd sign him to the max. It's, you know, you're taking too much of a chance. He's 30. You might have a year of rehab. So that year is down the drain. So, you know, it's a tough call, but I wouldn't take the chance. And then my second point,
John, before you get to point two,
yes, sir.
I omitted this, and it was part of my thought. I don't think I said it on the air, but if I didn't, I want to make sure I get this out there. And it's not ruptured, but if it were ruptured,
right, I realize that.
Yeah, I hear you. But he's got the player option, so he could conceivably kick it down the road, go back to the Warriors for $19.5 million, get healthy, rehab, and then enter the free agency in 2020. Just to be clear.
Oh, great! I think that would be the better move.
If I'm him, that's what I would probably do.
Yeah,
unless somebody's handed me $256 million,
which
with
not.
A ruptured Achilles,
which I don't think they would do.
Somebody might.
I mean,
you know who would do it? It would be a team that doesn't have a chance to get him unless he's hurt. Like, we all know where Kyrie's out. Kevin Durant's either going to be on the Warriors, the Knicks, the Clippers. I guess I'll leave like a 1% for the Lakers. Yeah. And you know where I think he's going.
You think the money's going to make a difference? He's 220 if he stays with the Warriors.
Yep.
5 years, 220. 4 years, 160.
No.
If he goes elsewhere.
No, because he'll be LeBron's age when this contract expires. He'll be LeBron's age and less dependent on pure physicality and more shooting. So you would think Kevin Durant's prowess as a scorer is far more sustainable than LeBron's prowess as a physical freak.
Yeah, and the tax advantage isn't, because we talked about this the other day as well, the tax advantage isn't that different. It is slightly, but not that different between New York and California.
They're very similar. So, like you're talking about the Magic, that's different. Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs, Houston Rockets,
that doesn't seem. Won't even throw the Rockets. But teams that he's not really thought to be considering.
Correct.
That have no state income tax.
Correct. And the ones that have favorable tax laws might not have the cap space, so it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, you're right.
855-212-4227. How about this? You know, full boatload of calls. Let's just hammer through them. We've got the NBA from last night. We've got the NBA tonight. We have the PGA Championship. Tiger just knocked in a 30-footer. We'll see what he's doing on the next tee box. Obviously, Brooks Koepka is flirting with a little history, but we get a chance to take some calls. We like to do it here on Tiki and Tierney. So your calls, your voice, 1-855-212-4227. That's next right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Well, I would have to think that this probably cements the fact that Anthony Davis will not be on the Lakers when Gail Benson says, quote, I wouldn't trade him there over my dead body.
Wow.
That's a quote. Scratch them off the list.
Third team, maybe? Can you work that? Where do you think Anthony Davis wants to be?
Where
does he want to be?
I think primary destination for him in his own mind was the Lakers.
Yeah.
But I think that was last year before the Knicks appeared to be in a real position to get who I believe they're going to get.
Yeah. The Knicks were on his list?
Yes, the Knicks were on his list.
So it's a possibility. So if it happens, he's not going to be disgruntled and I can't wait to get out of here.
No, I think it would be the exact opposite. Yeah. I think he'd be completely enthused and would absolutely sign the extension, no doubt.
So where do you think he ends
up? I think he's going to be on the Knicks. I really do. Now, you got to look at this from, you know, the Knicks aspect is simple. I mean, you get these superstars, and I mean, if they can somehow pull this off, if they actually wind up with Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis, I mean, they're going to have a chance to win the championship.
Yeah.
Like they are.
Yeah, you're right.
But the Pelicans, how appealing would it be if you're running the Pelicans and you look at how raw Zion is?
Yeah.
And to pair him with his college teammate, his college roommate, R.J. Barrett, and then all the other boatload of assets the Knicks are going to give up to do it? I mean, it seems like a win-win.
It does, but doesn't it feel like the process? Doesn't it feel like you have all these young players? There's a couple vets there. Jrue Holiday, we always talk about, and he's had
Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, also
had a good season.
Who reinvented himself 2 years ago in L.A., They didn't keep him, came over here, he just had to reprove himself again, and he did it.
He was a beast. It was his best season.
Absolutely it was. It was almost like he had the shackles on him or just not being coached. It was weird. Like he turned into the player we thought he was going to be that he never really evolved into until he was elsewhere. Maybe that's another indictment on the Los Angeles Lakers, which we've been talking about for a couple weeks now. But if you're the Pelicans, doesn't that – I know it sounds appealing and it's exciting and it feels like, give me 5 years, 3 or 4 years, not even 4 years, and we're going to be there. But it reminds me of the process. And they're not stating it. They're not putting it that way. They're not saying we're going to build with these young players and, you know, in a couple of years we're going to develop them into stars and we're going to be competing for a championship. Just look at what Philly did. They're not saying that, but that's what it feels like. And I don't know if Philly fans, as excited as they are, are happy where they are right now.
And they're going to be really unhappy if Jimmy Butler walks out the door and by his IG account, his post list, and it looks like he might be willing to or ready to do that. Here's the one difference. It's fair that you bring that up for sure, but one of the big differences is that the person leading the New Orleans process actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah, David Griffin.
And you'd have to think that David Griffin's going to draft some really good players, which would truncate the rebuild.
Yeah.
Unlike Philly, where they bombed on, you know, Nerlens Noel, although they acquired him. Nerlens Noel. Yeah. Jahlil Okafor wasn't very good. And most of the guys they took weren't that good.
You're right. And even, I'm even forgetting his name now that they just
Markelle Fultz.
Couldn't
shoot
Fultz.
A jump shot. It was just incredibly weird.
He was damaged. And
crazy.
As soon as he got there, it fails on him. And now he's trying to rehab his mind, I think, as much as his body down in Orlando. Yeah, I mean,
I think it seems like the way to go. You gotta, even if emotionally,
you don't want to give it a try at all
with Anthony
Davis.
No chance. He's gone. He's 100% gone. There's no way he wants. He doesn't want me, so I don't want him. Again, I'm looking at this from through the eyes of the Pelicans ownership and their fans. You don't want us, then we don't want
but
you.
But I almost feel like if you're Anthony Davis, aren't you rethinking this?
Nah. No, I'm not. Zion Williams, 19. Zion Williamson's 19 years old.
Yeah.
He's not ready to play.
No,
I mean, he's going to have some highlight every night. He's going to be with a dunk that's going to be incredible. But, you know, he can't shoot. You know, Jrue Holiday obviously will help alleviate some pressure as a veteran point. You know, he's got to get range. He's going to be playing against guys who are now not quite 280, but certainly taller. And, you know, where is he? I know he's a very willing defender, but he's going to be on the perimeter. Does he get hit with some fouls early? You know, he's got to learn pick and rolls, defense. I mean, there's so many things he's got to learn. So I think it's the only way for them to do this, quite frankly.
Yeah,
I think.
What's that thing? Talking about the Pelicans.
Talking about the Pelicans. Yeah. And I think if they do this the right way, then I think that they could be superior to what the 76ers are. I mean, because let's face it, and you and I have talked about this all the time, the reason why it seems like on some level, although if you know the game, you know that this is actually not true. But you can kind of glide by and say, well, the process kind of worked. No, it wouldn't have worked if you didn't get Butler and Tobias Harris.
Right.
It wouldn't have worked out.
You're right.
So you had to really go out and then hustle to make amends for all the mistakes that you made. Here's the one thing people need to realize this, and I'm very curious, flip it back to the Knicks again, because I believe he will be on the Knicks. I do. I believe that that's the trade that the Pelicans will look at and say, okay, whether it's obviously going to be the third overall pick and a combination of Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. maybe they take Frank Ntilikina to try to turn him into a defensive demon, whatever. He's not useless, but, you know, you mold him, maybe you can fix him a little bit.
He's still young.
He's very young, and he's a good kid, and he's got a high IQ. He's just been a little bit banged up and in bad systems with bad players around him. The Knicks actually have, by virtue of that Porzingis trade, they have a 2020 and a 2021 unprotected. Unprotected.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm the Knicks, as much as I want Anthony Davis,
but is that going
to? I'm not giving them. I'm going to say no to the. If the Pelicans say you can have Anthony Davis, we want third overall picks, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Damian Dotson, Frank Ntilikina, and the two first round picks, I hang up the phone. I can't give them that much.
Yeah.
I can't give them the third pick. Two possible future, top five or top 10 picks, and good players.
But they're from Dallas, though, right?
What's that?
They're from Dallas, correct?
From Dallas.
But Dallas isn't going to be languishing.
They're not going to be languishing, but, you know, when was the last time Porzingis played a whole season?
And true.
He never has.
True.
So if he gets banged up for the usual 20 games, which he always does, and the Western Conference gets better from the bottom up, as we surmise, with the Kings, yep. et cetera, I mean, are they going to win 50 games? No, they might be an 8 seed. I mean, You're not going to get the 4 seed.
No, I hear you. That makes sense.
With the Mavericks, but
yeah,
you might get 11 or 12 or 13,
sense.
You know.
It's a lot to give up for Anthony Davis.
It's a lot to give up.
But if you're a Knicks fan and you can snap yourself into
relevance, championship viability.
Exactly. That's uh-huh. exactly what I'm thinking. I was going to say Eastern Conference semifinals.
No, you got to think bigger than you're doing this.
You could snap yourself into it. Mm-hmm. So even bigger, Eastern Conference finals. You
okay.
could snap yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth all of that, even if it's temporary, even if it's 4 years before those guys expire. I honestly think it is.
I believe the more prudent thing would be to, provided you get Durant and Kyrie,
yeah.
and then fill in the other pieces. And let Damian Dotson grow, and let Kevin Knox play, and let Mitchell Robinson attack the rim and destroy people blocking shots, you know, and keep Dennis Smith Jr. That's somebody I didn't even mention. Dennis Smith, that might be somebody that the Pelicans might want. Dennis Smith is a high flying.
He is.
I know he's a little inefficient.
He's a bad shooter,
but he's not as bad. He got better.
Yeah,
he got better last year. So if the Knicks want to swing this deal, he won't be a Knick. I just hope for the first time they're not drunken sailors. Because when you're bad for 20 years, you get desperate.
Of course.
And they have
Fans are desperate.
Trust me, I'm desperate. But you have to maintain some basketball sanity and not lose clarity. You have leverage because Davis wants out, and everybody knows it. He's not going back. So we know, as we engage you in trade talks, we know that you have to trade him, which means I'm taking back two of the aforementioned 8 pieces I threw on the table. You can't have everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, go find somebody else, and we'll go to plan B. All right, Axe Update is right now. We got football at the 40s after that. How about this? Already, could the NFL possibly be looking into tweaking pass interference? It's going to be a good discussion. Tiki and I will get to it after Rich right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
It is golf's second major off and running here. The best in the country, best in the world. I, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger going for back-to-back, but right now he's just trying to make the cut. And Brooks Koepka setting the tone. PGA Championship at beautiful and daunting Bethpage Black all weekend on CBS. Leaderboards get a little tight. Koepka's been in charge from the opening moments, but he's got a little competition despite some of the winds picking up and some moist conditions out there on the for the later tee time. So obviously, that's a story. It's going to be awesome on CBS all weekend. Teek, you ready for football at the 40s?
Let's hit him.
Here you go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Teek, let's start with the rules. Who doesn't love dissecting rules, as they're always changing? But this one's a big one. PI penalty challenges, perhaps. So we're going to get a little tweakage here. So when the NFL owners meet next week, they're going to be asked to consider change to overtime and the possibility of tweaking the new rule to allow challenges of pass interference penalties.
This is interesting.
This is interesting. Yeah. So obviously you've been all over this. What's your initial thoughts?
It's hard to think about because of how the semantics of how it works. So up until 2 minutes, just like with any penalty, the challenge, if there is a pass interference, goes to the referees. But if the referees don't necessarily see it as challengeable, then it doesn't get challenged, even if the coach thinks it is challengeable, right? So it gets complex. So now they're going to ask in these meetings that BT was just alluding to, if pass interference, and I hope it's just pass interference. They're not going to let everything be challenged.
That's what it appears to be, by the way, so far.
Just pass interference would always be able to be challenged by the coaches, even inside of 2 minutes, where it usually goes to the referees instead. Because it's such a judgment call. Like one referee, let's say a referee on the field says, that was pass interference. And the referee in the booth or the challenge referee says, yeah, you know, really, I don't think that was. So I'm not gonna even challenge the call.
Mm-hmm.
But the coach is going crazy.
Yep.
Right? So it's something to debate. It really
I don't think
is.
There's anything to debate. I think it's common sense. Let's let logic and common sense win out. I agree.
Yeah, but then,
I'm down for this tweak.
But then you start asking, does it become the precedent? And should everything be challengeable inside of 2 minutes for the coach's challenge? That's probably the next domino. That's the only thing you worry about. I agree with you.
But you mean like holding and
all
you
that
know,
stuff.
Illegal contact. I might shoot that down, but for pass interference, which is so punitive or could be, or rewarding.
And again, this is why pass interference is so prevalent and so talked about, because it could be a 45-yard penalty. You know what I mean?
Listen, I hear you. I said a while ago, and I know that they'll never adapt this, but they should. You should have grade one PI and grade two PI. If it's like if Tiki's behind me, right, and he's just got me burned, then you got a nice sweater, but I don't want to. Yeah. And I grab his shirt and I just refuse to let him get by me, that's a grade one. Like that is, if it equates to 47
You're
yards
right.
on the spot, that's what we're doing.
You're right.
If it's a little ticky tack and it make it 15 yards.
But it's not egregious.
If it's not egregious, if it's a little debatable, I think it would. That's common sense. I don't see that ever happening, but I'll tell you what, I would love to see that happen. I'd love to see the XFL experiment with that.
Yeah, good point.
No? Well, we talked about this last week, and Joe Flacco with a pretty interesting cut, and he basically said, the short version is, it's not my job to make sure that Drew Lock is ready to play football. It's my job to make sure that I'm ready to play football.
He's right.
You and I defended Joe. And absorb the playbook and get myself ready. And Joe's trying to continue his career and prove some doubters wrong and detractors and all these. He's trying to salvage what remains of his career. But Drew Lock, despite what Joe Flacco said, that Drew's kind of saying Joe's doing the right thing here.
Joe Flacco said that he doesn't want to mentor you, right?
Yeah.
What are your comments on that?
No, I don't really have any comments on it. Me and Joe. You know, he's taught me a lot so far. He's dealing with winning football games, and I'm dealing with trying to learn. So.
Got it. So he is mentoring you a little bit.
I mean, you know, we're in the same quarterback room every single
day. Yeah.
Same field. Yeah, he's been great to me.
All right, so that was from TMZ.
What kind of question is that?
Well, it was a good question, but I thought he comported himself like a pro.
I think he did, too. But like,
Stayed away from controversy.
Why challenge him like that?
Because he's a young kid, and you probably could.
Right.
Try to get him to say something you want
Joe Flacco says he doesn't want to mentor you.
That's what they were hoping that he said. What do you think that they wanted to hear? Do you think that they wanted to get what they actually got?
Yeah.
No, that's the boring part. They wanted him to say, nah, I mean, I'm swimming. Joe's not helping me at all. And then front page of TMZ, Joe Flacco, horrible teammate. Yeah, and you get clicks.
Selfish.
We know what
teammate.
They were searching.
I hear you.
All right. Hey, Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback of the future. We hope.
He better be.
According to Evan Engram, their tight end, who's got some good wiggle, good hand, drops a few, but he's fast, vertically a dangerous weapon for the Giants, says that Daniel Jones is picking up the offense really fast. Let's be honest. In terms of intellect and IQ, that's the least concern for Dave. He's a brilliant young man, and that's the easy stuff.
Yeah, look, he's smart. He's a Duke kid. He obviously was really well coached. The David Cutcliffe thing, which led an interesting narrative about him pre-draft. This is why the Giants will love him, because he's Eli's, you know, he's mentored by Eli's guy, in a sense, David Cutcliffe, who's obviously Eli and Peyton's quarterback coach when I think he's still their quarterback coach, in a sense. And so What would Daniel Jones be? Well, you knew he knows pro offenses. And so when you get exposed to it and you're already familiar with it, of course you're going to go through the learning process pretty quickly. So I'm not surprised by that at all.
No, not one bit. Here's the exact quote from Evan Engram. He said, quote, he's picking up the offense really fast. They've been trying to throw some stuff at him, and he's handled it very well. He then transitioned to Eli. Quote, Eli looks real. We hear this every summer. Mm-hmm. Eli looks really good. He's moving around. He's doing everything he's asked. He's making all the throws. He looks like Eli. He is doing well. Okay, we'll see.
Eli's not moving around.
Nah, I know, exactly. A little hyperbole there, Evan. Running about a five flat 40 at this point. Freddie Smoot. Okay, mm-hmm. Freddie Smoot. We've had Freddie on the show. Freddie Smoot. Quarterback back in the day, good play, very good player. Basically, talks about how the Redskins. Now, this is cornerback on cornerback crime. This is interesting, where he says the Redskins should say to Josh Norman, "Peace out."
You want to ask yourself, where am I expendable at? And I'm gonna look at that big cap number that Josh Norman has, and that's gonna make me want to release him. You wouldn't go to a used car lot trying to pay new car prices, which at the end of the day, for what we pay for this guy, we're not getting that return on that investment. We pay this guy number one cornerback money. I'm sorry, we paid too much for the car. It's time that we traded back in.
Ooh, that's from Redskins Talk podcast. The number is 5 years, $75 million. That made him one of the highest paid corners prior to the 2016 season.
Yeah, 14.
How good is Josh Norman right now? Where is he at?
He's good. He's not elite level. You know, he feels like Rondé at the end of his career, where he's still going to make a lot of plays and he's still going to be very valuable.
Yep.
But here's the difference. Rondé at the end of his career was making $4 or $5 million.
And how old was Rondé at the end of his career?
He was 36.
36. Josh Norman's not 35 or 36,
true,
that's for sure.
True. And he's making $14.5 million.
That's right.
But the difference, and I think why Freddie Smoot brings this up, is because if they cut him, the dead number is not horrendous. It's only $6 or so million. So that delta is good. So if the Washington Redskins decide to make a move, it's not going to crush them cap-wise.
Okay, let's get to the Baltimore Ravens here, Teak. Now, we all get juiced up with the initial wave of free agency, the Le'Veon Bells, the C.J. Mosley's, my guys.
Yeah.
But usually it's the secondary and the third aspect of it where you could get a bargain deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens very well may have done that. The Ravens signed a couple of former first-round picks here. Number one is Michael Floyd, the big wide receiver. And the other is former Broncos pass rusher Shane Ray. So those deals are done. And listen, the Ravens, I thought the Ravens had a very good draft.
Yeah.
I love their direction. I think the Ravens are going to be very good again this year. And I like what they did here. Kick the tires on two kids with promise and see if you get them on
Michael
the cheap.
Floyd's the one you worry about because it seems like he's got an alcohol issue or he had one in the past. I don't know what he's done lately. Maybe he's rehabilitating himself. But I don't know how valuable that's going to be. Shane Ray, though, I think. Is still an untapped, really good player. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I think if you need a rotation guy who's going to give you, significant downs in the regular season, then Shane Ray's that guy. So, yeah, I do like this. The only one, Michael Floyd's the one that just kind of confuses me a little bit. But if you can get him on the cheap, and he figures himself out, he is a vet, and that's what you need sometimes when you have a young offense around you.
Yeah, I mean, the way Michael Floyd, you forget he's basically 30 years old at this point. He's been around a little bit. He came up in 2012 at the age of 23 with the Cardinals, of course. And, he only started three games, but he had almost 600 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Next year, he really ascended to a primary role, 113 targets, started all 16 games, had over 1,000 yards receiving. Five touchdowns. The next year he had six touchdowns, then six touchdowns again, and then at that point it's been pretty
dire,
erratic and pretty dire and pretty unproductive. So if there's any gas in the tank, we'll find out if he can still play. But for a cheap
look,
test, why not?
The money's not guaranteed. If they want to move on, they can move on easy.
Yep. Okay, you got to appreciate speed because speed, boy, if you're naturally fast, I know you got to protect it and you got to stretch and you got to still cultivate the muscles, blah, blah, blah. If you're born fast, you're fast. And Teddy Ginn was born fast.
Yeah.
Teddy Ginn says he'll race anybody for $10,000 or better.
Oh,
now, what would you do if I ponied up five large? What if I ponied up the 5,000 of the 10?
Yeah.
Would you race Teddy Ginn
Me?
Jr.? Yeah. I'm not going to race him.
Dude, he ran He ran a 4.37.
So we always say that you could still run.
And he had a bum foot. He said his best time is like a 4.22. Now, my best time, but this is like years ago, was 4.28. So I could have hung with him back when I was running track at 180 pounds. I am 180 pounds again.
So if I come up with five and CBS Sports Radio comes up with the other five, seriously, goes to charity.
He's 10 years younger
than me. We'll set something up. We'll get MetLife Stadium. Huh. And how about this? Sharp Tierney will establish a point spread. A tenth of a second spread. I'll come up. He'll be favored. He'll be favored. But I'll say Teddy will be a little less than 3/10 of a second favored. Can you, if I gave you 3/10
yeah,
of a
definitely.
Second,
no doubt about
can
it.
Can you deliver the money?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Might have to set this up. Get Teddy on the phone. We got somebody willing to race him.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Samter, what were you saying about Adam Gase?
I was just reading an interesting story. We're talking all about Le'Veon Bell and the drama between Adam Gase that might be brewing because Gase didn't want him and Maccagnan did, and now Maccagnan's gone. Well, apparently the two have been in constant contact, talking almost every day or a couple times a week at least. So it seems like that might be nonsense.
I'm not worried about that at all. I'm honestly not.
I mean, I'm only because it's Le'Veon.
And he's got to play. He's got to produce.
And he wants to.
Exactly.
He wants to more than anything. Look, Le'Veon may have some whatever latent beef with Adam Gase, but at the end of the day, he's not going to care because he's a baller. He wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
The question will be how he treats him and whether or not how he treats him affects how other people treat Adam Gase.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? I know exactly what you mean. I mean, if Le'Veon Bell is overtly disrespectful,
exactly.
That's not good for the culture that Adam Gase is trying to develop
here. Exactly. Right.
You know, I hate to say that a head coach has to go out of his way and kiss the behind of a player. Adam Gase has to do a little butt kissing right here. Maybe not publicly, but he's got to massage that ego. He's got to make sure that Le'Veon Bell truly is in the right frame of mind.
You're right.
Because that residual trickle down to the rest of the team is paramount.
Yeah, he's got to know that he wants him there.
Yeah.
Because the perception right now is that he didn't necessarily care. Or not that he didn't want it.
They should have paid him that much.
Exactly. It was just indifferent because of the money. And it's a lot of money.
And by the way, you know, Grant's not that kind of money. But like, if a new boss came in here and they're like, you know, what you and I make, and they're like, oh, I like those guys, but I don't want to pay him that much, I'd be a little bit annoyed at the guy too. It's human nature.
Of course
I'm like,
would.
No, I'm worth that.
Exactly.
He didn't think I was worth that.
And that's what
she didn't think I was worth that.
And we know what Le'Veon Bell spent the last like 3 years dealing with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What his beef was. Mm-hmm. I don't think he didn't dislike the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just wanted to be paid. He wanted to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted his value. And so if you're now the new head coach of the New York Jets and general manager signs you who just got fired and you're saying you're not really worth that, it's kind of hitting them right where it hurts, man.
A little bit. And he's got to be wanted. He's got to feel the need to be loved at this point.
Like, I think you're right.
There's a void there. Because even though a lot of his teammates in Pittsburgh had his back, outside of when they rummaged through his locker and tried to take
his stuff. They had it for a little bit. Then they bounced on him.
But at the end of the day, if you literally interpret the way it went down in Pittsburgh, the Steelers, in essence, said, we don't need you.
Yeah.
And when I don't care how good you are, no matter what your craft is, when somebody says that, even if it's nonverbal acknowledging and a nonverbal acknowledgement, number one, you want to prove people wrong, but if you're a human being, you know, who bleeds and cries and like everybody else, you're like, man, that's kind of sucks. I want to be loved here. I want to be wanted.
I don't disagree with that.
You know,
Gase. I like Le'Veon. They just got to tone that rhetoric down. And look, I guess they had to do this. They had to fire Mike Maccagnan. I don't know. I wish it would have played differently.
Me too. Yeah. Because it did, even though I don't think it's going to adversely affect their season. That's just my opinion. It did temporarily stifle what was a good couple of months. You got Quinnen Williams, you got Le'Veon Bell, you got C.J. Mosley, Sam Darnold's the man.
It was some enthusiasm.
It was like, okay, finally, the Giants were a little dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. You know, that's rare when we kind of flip scripts, and it's kind of nice, to be honest with you. It's a little refreshing from my point of view. To look at the Giants scuffling, you know, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, they fire the GM after he spends $150 million in free agency and drafts everybody. But I think they'll be fine. Maccagnan wasn't that good. Yeah, I hate being so blunt, but he wasn't.
And it's not even about that. It's just the perception.
Perception. That's why once you get to week one, perception doesn't matter except the perception of the season.
All you got
to
do is win.
Yep.
Sounds easy.
It ain't easy for Tiger Woods so far, first couple of rounds. Tiger Woods in danger of missing the cut. And how much would that stifle the enthusiasm we have for Tiger? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.